I'm drawing your attention to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. The gospel of Matthew chapter 11, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now that is what you call a ministry right there. That is a ministry. But here is the key verse from which I'm preaching today. The final thing, the final word that Jesus sent back to John the Baptist, and it's also a word for us today. And blessed, this is verse 6, the last verse. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And so I want to ask you today, have you ever been offended? And I'll just go ahead and answer that question for you. Because if you've been on this earth for any length of time at all, the answer is yes. Have you ever offended someone else? Again, the answer is yes. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, look at this. "It is impossible that no offenses should come." It is impossible today to live in this world, to walk through this life, without being offended and offending. It's impossible to escape this life without being hurt by someone. And hurting someone. We've all been there because this is the nature of life. We're in a fallen, sinful world. We've all been there. And there are negative consequences. People getting offended in their spirit could very well be the number one reason why people stop coming to church and why there is division in churches. Even the disciples of Jesus got offended and stumbled and fell away. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" And I'm reading here from the New King James translation, which I do the vast majority of time, but the King James, going back to the King James, I looked that up, and it uses the word offended. "All of you will be offended because of me." And that brings us to John the Baptist, because Jesus knew that John was offended in his spirit. I do not believe today that doubt was the primary issue. Oh yes, John the Baptist, he may have had a smidgen of doubt. But John knew the purpose for which he was born into this world. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born, from his mother's womb. He knew that he was the forerunner. and that he had come to prepare the way for the Messiah. And one day when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He proclaimed that to all of us. John was offended in his spirit because he was the one who paved the way. He was the one who proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. He was the one who baptized Jesus. And now he's in prison. He's not part of the ministry now. He's out of sight and out of mind. He's on the shelf. And as a human being with real human thoughts and human emotions, John had to be thinking to himself, "Here I've been obedient. I've been faithful. I've been preaching. I've sacrificed. I've been willing to put others first. I've been willing to be content with second place. And now I'm in prison." And it looks like I'm about ready to have my head chopped off. And so John, speaking out of that hurt and that offense, he sends word to Jesus, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" And Jesus sends word back to him, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Some translations use the word stumble or even the phrase to fall away, because that's what the offended spirit will do. But I want to be sure we understand this morning. And I don't normally talk about Greek words, but this word offended and the word stumble, they come from the same Greek word, scandalizomai. And if you hear that word, you hear the word scandal in there. And the root meaning of that word means to snap shut. And so, follow me here, don't miss this. A scandalon was a baited stick or piece of wood that held open up a trap for animals. And so when an animal would come in and take the bait, it would trigger and trip that stick or that piece of wood, and that trap would come down and snap shut. That's exactly what happens when we allow offense to come into our lives and we don't deal with it. A scandalon is a stumbling block, an offense that binds a person. And once a person goes in and takes the bait and trips that stick and the trap comes down, it's really hard to get out. And I know from experience several times in my life, but I've chosen to forgive and to be forgiven. If we don't choose to forgive and to be forgiven, then we get trapped in a personal prison. God is not a man that he should lie. And look what God says here in Proverbs 18:19. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel." So as we look at this for a few moments this morning before we enter into prayer and Holy Communion, I would like to suggest a few reasons why we might become offended. Number one, unrealized, and you could even say unrealistic expectations. That's exactly what I think was going on with John. I think John had in his mind a picture of who the Messiah would be, what the Messiah would do. Jesus was quite different than what John had expected. John himself, you know the story of John the Baptist. You get a picture of John the Baptist in God's Word. John the Baptist was a loud, boisterous individual. He said when the Messiah comes, he'll have an axe in his hand. He'll lay that axe to the root. He'll have a winnowing fork in his hand, and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John expected a military type, as did the disciples. But here comes Jesus as a lamb to be crucified. Jesus came kissing babies, drinking wine, and allowing a prostitute to wash his feet. And that didn't sit well with a Nazarite like John the Baptist. I think John the Baptist was saying, I thought the Messiah would be this. I thought the Messiah would do this. You know, I'll tell you something right now. When I got married in 1979, after Jamie asked me to marry her, I knew exactly what marriage should be, what and how it should unfold. Hello. Is anybody home? Boy, did I have a lot to learn. And I'm still learning. If you're married, do you probably know? Some of you ladies may have had to struggle with unrealized expectations. I mean, when you were dating your husband-to-be, oh, he was so wonderful, loving, and kind. Hopefully this was true. He would open the door for you, make sure you were in, and then shut the door. And now after 5, 10, 15, 20 years of marriage, just hurry up and hop in. Let's go. But if your husband is still loving and kind and attentive, then you're blessed. You truly are. Just like Jamie's really blessed. How many of you ever had this happen to you? You plan a vacation, and I'm not talking about just like a weekend, you know, where I'm going to have a weekend and go off for the weekend. I'm just saying, you think about, you're planning this special vacation. And I mean, you plan it out, and you have it envisioned exactly the way things should be on this wonderful vacation that you're planning. And then there's a cold rain all week, and either you or someone in your family gets a stomach bug and passes it to everybody, and the hotel doesn't look anything like the pictures that you were looking up. And so these in life we have these expectations, and when these expectations aren't realized, then sometimes we might be offended. I was thinking of Naaman, the leper in Acts. I mean, not Acts. That's what we've been reading in our daily Bible study. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was a leper. And he had everything. He had wealth, great wealth, and power. But he was also a leper. And so he gets in his fine chariot, and he has all his gold, silver, jewelry, and all this wealth, and he's going to go to the home of Elisha, the prophet, to be healed. And he has these expectations. The prophet's just going to run out and wave his hand over Naaman, and that he would be healed of his leprosy. And Naaman was severely offended by it, because he had it all built up in his mind the way it was going to unfold, and it didn't, and so he was offended. Thankfully, he humbled himself, and you know, Elijah sent word out to, didn't even come out. He sent word out and said, "Go dip in the river 7 times." Thankfully, Naaman did that. You know, I was thinking about the ministry. And I hope you will bear with me and tolerate some of this today. But I was thinking along these lines in the ministry, when someone studies to go into a full-time pastoral position, they say that the first 5 years are critical. And I've seen this as truth. This is what was taught to me that the first 5 years, if you make it through the first 5 years as a pastor, you have a good chance of surviving it. But the reality is, many do not make it 5 years. I went through seminary with several men that didn't make it 5 years. Maybe for many reasons, but one of them is this thing about expectation, that this thing I thought the ministry would be different. I thought people would respond to my preaching. I thought all church people would be loving and kind. I thought I would be able to support my family. And that's one of the reasons why some don't make it. I mean, when I think about the first 10 years of ministry for me, if my wife hadn't been a nurse, we had a Christian school, and I went 6 months. I didn't receive any compensation. And by the way, this opens a door for me as a pastor to congregation to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to tell you something. When I got hired here, I didn't make any financial demands or requests or anything like that. But I want to tell you right now, First Baptist Church has been over the top generous. Over the top generous with me. And I thank you for that. And here's the thing. You know, things have changed a lot for all of us, and maybe things... I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to make it through. We're going to be stronger, and God's going to take care of this church, okay? Can anybody say amen to that? That's my opinion. And that leads me to the second point, which is, here's another reason why people get offended. Personal opinion. Oh, everyone has one, right? The more opinionated a person is, I believe, the more easily they will be offended in their lives. And you know, it really grieves my heart, because there are families that have become divided and friendships that have become divided because of political opinions, or maybe even biblical and theological opinions, and these things that can divide. Now you say, what does this have to do with John the Baptist? Well, in this question, John said, are you the coming one, or should we expect another? Now that's just a question. But if you read between the lines, I think John was giving an opinion there. I think when John was looking at all the things that were happening, what was happening to him, I think he was saying, I'm not sure about this situation, Jesus. So he was giving his opinion. When I look at the disciples, this is just speculation, but when I look at the disciples, it seems to me that probably Peter was the most opinionated. I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but Peter was always willing to blurt something out or to be impulsive. But Peter, I think, was so opinionated that God had to let down a sheet from heaven full of animals in a vision, because Peter had his opinion about certain people. And God had to change that. And it wasn't easy, because even after that vision, he struggled. It's okay to have opinions. But listen to me. If the opinion you hold, the belief that you hold, is more important than people, then that stick might trip. That trap might come down. You might be offended. Why can't we lovingly allow people to have their opinions and not get caught in the trap? I want you to look at these verses here, or one verse, Proverbs 29:25. It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. That's the bottom line right there. What does God think about me? Because I trust in the Lord. It's dangerous to be concerned with what others think about you. But if you trust the Lord, you're safe. And I looked up this. This is a total paraphrase. I'm going to look this up in one of these, like the Message. And it says, the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. It's been said, don't let someone's opinion become your reality. Now, think about social media. If you want some opinions, go on Facebook or whatever. You know, I don't know. There's so many things. Opinions are everywhere. And people start believing, and those opinions become their reality. We need to get our opinions from the Word of God. We need to train our minds by God's Word. Let me give you one more, and then I'm going to be drawing this message to a close. There's another reason that I thought of, and that's disillusionment. Disillusionment. To be disillusioned, you have to, first of all, believe and have faith in something. I mean, here we are, we're getting closer to Easter. Holy Week is coming. Jesus came into Jerusalem. The people were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 1 week later, they were shouting, Crucify him! They became disillusioned. There were some that were following Jesus. You could read about this in the 6th chapter of John, where some people were following Jesus, and they were all enthusiastic and excited to follow Jesus, to hear him, to see him work miracles. But one day Jesus started teaching some things that they couldn't quite grasp, and maybe they didn't like what he was saying. And the Bible says that they withdrew, and they would not walk with him any longer. And it was so bad, Jesus had to turn to his disciples. He had to turn to his disciples and say to them, Are you going to leave me also? Are you going to leave me? Folks, I want to encourage you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Many Christians have become scandalized because they start looking at someone in the church, some other Christian, getting their eyes on people. In Jeremiah chapter 17, there's one verse that says, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And then there's another verse in Jeremiah 17 that says, Cursed is the man who trusts in man. There may be even some people who feel like Jesus let them down. And I was reading again in Matthew 13 and Mark 13 and Matthew 24. Both of those deal with the end times. And this is what Jesus said would happen in the end times. People would become offended. People would become deceived. The love of many would grow cold. And they will fall away. They'll stumble. And that ought not be the case for us. Let me just give you two positive suggestions here in this message. And I think this is important. Do not take up the offenses of other people. And this is really tough, because sometimes when someone we love gets hurt or offended. It's worse than when we get offended. We might be able to handle that if it's just, okay, I'm going to deal with that. Okay, I was offended. I was hurt. Someone hurt me. I'm going to pray and ask for God to heal me. But when it's someone you love, when it's a family member or a close friend or something, and you go in and you take that bait and that trap falls on you, there's no grace in that. There's no grace in it. And it will only lead to further pain and spiritual bondage. Saying this is much easier to say, it's much easier to preach this than it is to practice it. Here's the last point I want to make. Do not try to put God in a box. Because here's what happens. People get their little system of theology and how they've been trained and their pet verses, and they put it in the box, and they put God in that box, and then they tie it up, and then they put a bow on it. And then when something happens out of the ordinary, they get offended. I call it the 2% theory. And you could say, I'm just throwing out a number. You could say 5%, 2%, 10%. I'm just using the number 2 because there's a 2% chance that God might do something out of the box. Something that you've already told Him He cannot do or whatever. And that could cause you to be offended. God told Abraham, listen to this. God told Abraham to kill his own son. Some of you, that offends some of you right now. Every time you think about that, God told Adam to kill his own son, that might offend you. God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. You know, I was wondering, if someone came to me and said, Pastor Mark, God has called me to marry the town prostitute. I don't even know. Is there one? Don't look at me. I don't know if there is or not. I have no idea if there's one in the Mid Ohio Valley. But you know, don't put God in a box. God told Ezekiel to lay on his side for 390 days. So let us all love one another and be open to whatever God wants to do here at First Baptist. And it's going to unfold. It's going to unfold, and God's going to be glorified. And you know, the exception is not the rule. I'm not saying, you know, we have to start chasing rabbits. God gives us His Word for wisdom, but he might do some things that we don't expect. And if He does, are you going to be offended? Jesus may say some hard things to you. He may allow some difficult testings to come to you or to me or to the church. Are we going to be offended? Are we going to stumble? Are we going to fall away? Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." And I'm going to just wrap this up with this verse in Psalm 119, 165. Look at this. Great peace have those. How many of you want peace in this world? Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." We need peace. Great peace have those who love your law. That's like just, you could put the word in there. Who love your word. And nothing causes them to stumble. Nothing will cause you to be offended. When Jesus is in the boat, you invite Him into your boat. That's the way you have to go through life.